comes from the book of Acts, chapter 4, 32 through 5:11. All the believers were one in heart and mind. No one claimed that any of his possessions were his own, but they shared everything they had. With great power, the apostles continued to testify to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and much grace was upon them all. There were no needy persons among them, for from time to time, those who owned land or houses sold them, brought the money from the sales, and put it at the apostles' feet, and it was distributed to anyone as he had need. Joseph, a Levite from Cyprus, who the apostles called Barnabas, which means son of encouragement, sold a field he owned and brought the money and put it at the apostles' feet. Now a man named Ananias, together with his wife Sapphira, also sold a piece of property. With his wife's full knowledge, he kept part of the money for himself, but brought the rest and put it at the apostles' feet. Then Peter said, "Ananias, how is it that Satan has so filled your heart that you have lied to the Holy Spirit and have kept for yourself some of the money you received for the land? Didn't it belong to you before it was sold? And after it was sold, wasn't the money at your disposal? What made you think of doing such a thing? You have not lied to men, but to God." When Ananias heard this, he fell down and died. And great fear seized all who heard what had happened. Then the young men came forward, wrapped up his body, and carried him out and buried him. About 3 hours later, his wife came in, not knowing what had happened. Peter asked her, "Tell me, is this the price you and Ananias got for your land?" "Yes," she said, "that is the price." Peter said to her, "How could you agree to test the Spirit of the Lord? Look, the feet of the men who buried your husband are at the door, and they will carry you out also." At that moment, she fell down at his feet and died. Then the young men came in, and finding her dead, carried her out and buried her beside her husband. Great fear seized the whole church and all who heard about these events.
Amen. Thank you. That's a tough one, isn't it? It was probably a little over a year ago that we were going through that text in the book of Acts. I chose to go back there because today I thought it would be appropriate to talk about the gift of giving. And here's what I would have to say about that gift. As a spiritual gift, as a natural gift, outside of the spiritual giftedness of it, it's probably the one that comes the least natural. Here's why I say that. What's one of the first words or phrases that a young child usually learns when they start having to deal with other children?
Mine.
Yeah, that's mine, isn't it? That's usually one of the first phrases they learn. The first word is probably no, and then the first phrase they learn is probably mine. That's mine. And, you know, my wife having had a daycare for many, many, many years, that those words, that phrase has come out so often, it's crazy. We learned very early on to say, "That's mine." And it's a mindset in fallen humanity to oftentimes think that way. Whatever it is that I have within my sphere of influence, whatever it is that I have my hands that on I can claim some kind of ownership of, I will. That's our default. With kids, and I think with adults as well, naturally speaking, we are prone to hold on to that which is ours. And yet in Scripture, when we look at the early church, and this is an extremely hard lesson that is being learned, and two people paid a price for it, but how God was trying to show the people that it isn't yours to begin with. So why would you even lie about, I sold it and gave it all to the church? He said, you know, it was yours to begin with, in a sense. And you could have said, I sold some land, I wanted to give some of it to you. But no, they wanted to say that they were giving it all to the church. And they lied. They lied. The gift of giving. I want to talk about that a little this morning. And we see that happening in this text. We see one who is a little different than that, and others before that who were not named. This one called Barnabas. Barnabas. You don't hear about Barnabas any other time in Scripture, but here's Barnabas right here. We all know about Barnabas. Here he was. And it's such a short little text in Scripture, but he sold a field and put the money at the apostles' feet. Very simply, that's what he did. He didn't go around selling a field and going around telling me, guess what I just did? I sold a field and I'm about to go over to the apostles, and you know how much money I got for this thing right here? I'm going to lay it at the apostles' feet so that you all know just how much I have given. That wasn't the way he approached it at all. Yet it seemed like that was Ananias and Sapphira's approach. We want everybody to know what we did. We did something pretty cool, didn't we? You see what's lost in that attitude? It ends up being all about me when it looks like in the service it's all about someone else. And God really wants you and I to be all about others and not all about me. And that's hard. Our default is not to think that way. Our default is not to act that way. Our default drive as sinful humanity is to think about me. And whatever it is I'm going to give, how is it going to benefit me or those that I want it to benefit? That's the way we are. Little is known about Barnabas. He gave substantially, and his desire was not for recognition, but to provide for a need that he had ability to help with. That's what it was. Ananias and Sapphira, on the other hand, as they also gave substantially. If you want to put them side by side, it was fairly equal, assuming the land was about the same size and that sort of thing. And yeah, they kept some of it back. But their gift was substantial too. I don't want us to belittle that point. They gave too. But clearly, the intent was different. What did they want? Recognition. They lied about the transaction. And their hearts weren't grateful. They were envious. In fact, the reason why they gave, they saw what Barnabas had done and wanted to do something similar with a different intent. The outcome of this unique and one-time event. Maybe God was trying to teach the early church that they need to have a correct understanding of stewardship, about a relationship with God, a godly relationship, and honesty. Because things started to get a little messy when that happened. Now, if you go to the text previous to Ananias and Sapphira, the text previous to Barnabas, when we started out the text with verse 32 and following, it says in that text that amongst the early believers, no one claimed that their possessions were their own. Wouldn't that be nice if that's the way we really felt? No one claimed that their possessions were their own. They shared. Some of the farming communities I know, when I grew up in the Upper Peninsula there, just a few miles north of here, although it didn't happen in our area of farming, we tended to all have our own equipment to do the farming we needed to do. But I know north of Rudyard, there was a practice amongst a lot of the farmers up there. These were Dutch farmers, a Christian Reformed church up there. And I went to their youth group when I was a late teenager. But it was a practice amongst a lot of the farmers up there in North Rudyard that some farmers would say own a combine and the other ones would not. And then someone would own a baler and the other one would not. And so during the times of year when you needed a particular piece of equipment, they would share their equipment with each other. And then during harvest season, if you didn't have a combine and someone else did, then you would use theirs and all that sort of thing. And there was this sharing thing that went on. In a way, in a sense, it was kind of like this. It's really not my own. It's meant to be shared with those around me. And you go up there in North Rudyard nowadays and there's not a lot of farms left. But that's the way it was when I was a kid, and some of that was going on. And that's exactly what the early church really was being called to do. No one claimed that their possessions were their own. They shared. From time to time, significant gifts were given to help ministry to those who had needs. Because they saw the need, they gave to the need, because it isn't my own. If we could have that kind of mentality in the church, that it isn't my own. It's ultimately God's. That's a hard one. If you don't have the gift of giving, that's a hard one sometimes to comprehend. Here's one thing that might help us understand whether you have the gift of giving. Now, as I've shared with all these gifts, and I want again to clarify for you, we are called in every situation to utilize it when we are in ministry as Christians, as believers, all the different gifts that might be particular gifts that people have. All of us are called to be merciful. All of us are called to teach as we can teach. All of us are called to these different giftings in a way that we can. We may not have that gift, but we still give. I don't have the gift. I guess I don't have the gift of giving, so I'm not going to give. That's not what we're called to do. We're all called to give. But someone who has the gift, it's someone who is very loosely tied to the material things of this world. They may have the ability to make big bucks, and in fact, some who have the gift of giving have the ability to make lots of money, and they can also be very generous with it. But someone who has the gift of giving is not so tightly tied to the material things of this world. They can let go. They can let go. You know, there's a verse in Scripture in Luke chapter 12, verse 48, the second half of that verse, it says, to whom much is given, much is expected. It has an application here with this gift. You know, if you and I are not good stewards, we may be given over to poor stewardship. Does that make sense? If we're not good stewards, we may be given over to poor stewardship. I think what happens a lot of times when we are not good stewards with what God has given us financially, it bleeds over into other things in our life. It can bleed over into things like bad investments, gambling our money away, drinking problems, marital problems, work problems, and the list goes on and on and on and on. It can bleed over to everything else in our life when we have poor stewardship of what God has given us. I'm not necessarily making a direct connection between generosity and giving and these other problems, but as a general rule, they do seem to have an effect. I think financial stewardship does affect every other spiritual discipline in our life. We need to be reminded of that old song I used to sing as a kid. He owns the mansion on a thousand hills, the wealth of every mind. You remember that? Some of you remember that old song? It's a reminder to us that God has it all, and we are just being given stewardship of what he's given us. Are we going to do a good job of that stewardship? If he gives us one talent, are we going to make two out of it? Are we going to bury it? Are we going to make more out of it? What are we going to do with what God has given us? Those who have the gift of giving, and all of us who should desire to give, are not hung up on materialism. We may have many things, but none of those things should master us. It didn't master Barnabas. To some degree, it did master Ananias and Sapphira. I would rather have people in the church give with a cheerful heart or if they cannot give with a cheerful heart, don't give a thing. Don't give a thing. I want us in the Church of Jesus Christ to give because, wow, there's so much the church can do in ministry out there. I just want to help in that endeavor. And I may not have much, and I can give the widow's mite, but I'm going to give because I am grateful that God has done what he's done in my life, and I want God to do that in other people's lives, and I just want to give with a cheerful heart. Folks, if you can't give with a cheerful heart, don't even give. Don't waste your time. Don't even give. And if it's hard right now for people to give because they feel that way, I pray that God will work on your heart because I'll tell you, it is so freeing to be able to give with a cheerful heart. For those who have the gift of giving, a lot of time tithing tends not to be a goal but the starting point. These are people that they just want to give out of the abundance that God has given them. Abundance from their own viewpoint, it may not look like abundance to other people. There are many people who have the gift of giving that don't make much. Those who have the gift of giving make giving your reason for gaining wealth. Think about that for a moment. Those who have the gift of giving make gaining those who have the gift of giving make giving their reason for gaining wealth. Not to keep getting more stuff, but because I have the opportunity to give. I really do think, folks, I really do think that our financial stewardship helps us to keep our focus, not just as a church, but as individuals. Because in the world we live in today, in our country that we live in, our God oftentimes is money. Our God is the material things that we have. And if we have a heart that's intent on giving, those things don't become as important. And it keeps our spiritual lives more in tune with Him. So folks, ask God to help you to be a cheerful giver. Don't ever look at when the church is asking for funds for a budget or whatever as a budget, but it's opportunities for ministry. That's what it is. And God has blessed us so much in so many ways to do just that with a bunch of people, and I wouldn't want that ever to be any other way. You may have the gift of giving, but all of us are called to give. Do it with the right heart. Let's pray. God, thank you, for we are blessed in so many ways. We are blessed. I doubt there's a single person here that's going hungry. I believe all have a place to live. If not, I know you'll provide it. God, you have blessed us with all the essentials of life and many of the wants in life, and we're grateful for that this morning. But you gave it to us. And help us to remember that. You gave it to us. It wasn't by our own accomplishments. You gave it to us. And we're grateful. Help us to be grateful in the way we live our lives. As we have been blessed, help us to be a blessing to others. And we give you thanks and praise in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen. Let's turn to hymn number 200.